makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. I'm going to read that last part again. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Guys, when we pray in the Spirit, we're yielding to the Holy Spirit to speak through our spirit to God. And it's something that's definitely around today. Now, if you don't believe in that, that's okay. I'm not pushing this on you. I'm not saying you have to speak in tongues. But I'm telling you that as a person who believes in God, as a believer, if you're not praying in the Spirit, you're disabling or refusing to use one of your most powerful spiritual weapons you've ever been given. In fact, I will tell you that praying in the Spirit, when you talk about your spiritual arsenal, ranks right up there with the name of Jesus and with the blood of Jesus. It is so important because it is the Holy Spirit praying through your spirit man directly to the Father. It's like having a bat phone directly to God. I talk about the bat phone, but back in the old Batman days, you know, they had the bat phone where they called Batman when they needed help. And then they went to the spotlight in the sky. You know, it's like having that direct phone that goes to the president, that red phone they show on TV sometimes. This is so much more powerful than that. This is a direct line to go directly to the Father whenever you need to pray about something. Whether you understand what you're praying about or not is irrelevant. It's directly going to the Father and praying about it. Guys, I hope you enjoyed our teaching today. Like I said, stick around with us because over the next couple days, we're going to talk about praying in the Spirit. We are just dabbling in it now. But we're going to talk about the importance of praying in the Spirit, what you do with it and why it's important, and we're going to talk about benefits that come directly to it. And when we close our teaching series out, we're going to close it out with how you can receive the gift of praying into the Spirit if you haven't received that already. Guys, as always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com where you can check out all of our teachings 24 hours a day at no cost. You can stream them on there 24 hours a day. In addition, we invite you to check out our YouTube channel where you can subscribe and share it with friends. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Any questions, clarity, comments? About praying in the Spirit.
It's interesting, though, to know that Satan does not understand what you're saying in the Spirit because he's flesh. So you don't have to feel intimidated by that. But just the fact that in speaking in the tongues, it's between you and God, but you don't want to be out of order, and you can speak it anywhere. In your house, and you can do it any place, but you sort of monitor it when you're out in public.
Yeah.
Okay.
Your question is: do you want to monitor it when you're out in public? That's your question, Kiwi.
I guess.
Yeah. He said it's best. He said you can. He said as often as possible, do it by you know, do it alone and by yourself, but. Yes, because he said you don't want to throw anybody off. You don't want to scare anybody and all. So I believe you are to be cognizant of where you're doing it at.
Mm-hmm.
And because
it's
you
almost
can
like
keep yourself and under your breath all, I mean, when you are in the face of the enemy, I've been told as a girlfriend of mine, you know, when she's in a situation where, I mean, when even me, when I've like been on a job and have seen stuff happen, to stop praying. I mean, under your breath, stop praying in the Spirit, inviting God into the situation. You know, and I didn't have to say, oh, come on, all out loud, looking stupid to everybody, looking crazy, and sometimes we can do things that make people shy away from us. Us crazy holy folks, and everything is supposed to be done in decency and in order. And there is also pray in the Spirit when nobody even hears you, nobody knows what's going on, but you and in your spirit, praying in the Spirit, you still throwing that atom bomb and inviting God into the situation. But on the bus or while the preacher is up preaching, no, that's not the time to do it. And during the prayer service, yes. And while prayer is going on and worshiping and stuff like that, yes, appropriate time. Yes, but not doing service, not at a time that you everything's supposed to be quiet and all, and you supposed to be, and plus first of all, you're going to be subject to the preacher that's up there. You know, you're not going to do anything to disrupt service or anything like that.
And you seems never, like you're. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
And you're never going to do
like
it to yourself.
Seems like you're in control of something that's out of control, but you control the volume on it.
Mm-hmm.
May I say this a little bit?
Right, yes.
The scripture says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Yes.
So you can turn it off if you determine that it's out of order or it may be misconstrued in a public
mm-hmm.
You get an unction, and it runs from the Holy Spirit up in the middle of a restaurant and start speaking in tongues. You can control that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not out of control. And as Pastor Peters has already said, God does things in decency and in order.
Amen.
And you don't want people, as she said, well said, people will think you're crazy. They won't think that God is doing something. They say this woman has lost their mind or this man has lost their mind. So you can control that because, number one, it's your prayer language. The Holy Spirit is moving through your spirit. But you can stop that if you determine that it's not going to be beneficial to the hearers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to edify them. It's not going to build them up. It's not going to do
mm-hmm.
anything positive.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, that takes spiritual maturity to get to the point where you understand that you control the horizontal and the vertical of that. Because, again, it's your prayer language. Hello? Yours.
Mm-hmm.
How much time do you have?
Wait a minute. We've gone 1 minute over. It's time for the second one, Pastor.
Okay. We can revisit this after the last one, again. It's
on
TV.
Mm-hmm. Answer, KB?
Yes, uh-huh. That was it.
Today's topic that we're going to be speaking about is called Praying in the Spirit, and this is part two in this teaching. Again, today's topic that we're speaking about is called Praying in the Spirit, and this is part two in this teaching. If you didn't catch yesterday's teaching, I highly advise you to go back as we gave some really good foundational work as far as what praying in the Spirit is, which is referred to as oftentimes praying in tongues. So if you didn't watch that, I invite you to go back and check that out and then pick us back up on this video. Your learning, I believe, will be increased. Obviously, as you know, if you've been with us, we're right now covering the last couple weeks different types of prayer that are covered in the Bible. In fact, we're covering 9 different types of prayer that we feel the Bible talks about. We list these as main prayers the Bible states in the Bible. And as we're doing that, one of the things that we're covering now is praying in the Spirit. And praying in the Spirit is often referred to as praying in tongues. It doesn't always have to be praying in tongues. You can certainly pray in the Spirit in your native language. But usually praying in the Spirit revolves around praying in tongues. And tongues, for a lot of people who don't understand what tongues is simply a prayer language you receive from the Lord that allows you to communicate directly with Him. The reason why people sometimes don't understand it is because there's so many opinions floating around in the world even within churches, about what it is or isn't. And I will tell you that there's a great lack of understanding within the body of Christ on what tongues is, its effectiveness, and how to use it, and why it's beneficial. Today we're going to cover some of the benefits, not all, it's not an exhaustive list, but today we're going to be covering a list of items that are why speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit is beneficial. These are things I've found true within my own life, and I'm certainly excited to share them with you. You know, it tells us in the Word that the Lord tells us His Word that my people perish for a lack of knowledge or a lack of understanding. When people have a lack of understanding about how God operates, about what His Word says, and about how His Spirit moves, then we're hindered or limited in our knowledge and receiving complete and total victory through Christ. Why? Because if you don't understand all of His Word, if you don't understand how His Spirit moves and you don't understand His character, how are you ever supposed to apply that, walk in confidence with that, and be able to go boldly before the throne in prayer for the things you need answers to or the things you need or the things you desire to be able to help yourself or help others out? I'm going to tell you praying in the Spirit is what I consider to be one of your most valuable weapons within your spiritual arsenal. In fact, for me, I believe that this is such an impactful and powerful gift that's been given to you as a believer. It's your right as a believer that it ranks up there with being able to leverage the name of Jesus than being able to leverage the blood of Jesus. Praying in the Spirit is so important. And as believers, when we know what that is and how to leverage it, it increases our walk. Now, a couple things I want to clarify you. Sometimes people think that when they pray in tongues, there always has to be an interpretation, and that's actually not accurate. What we're going to do starting next week is we're going to be covering the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And those are broken down actually into three groups of three. You have your power gifts, your inspirational or motivational gifts, as they're referred to sometimes, and then you have your revelation gifts. Your inspiration or motivational gifts are actually three different gifts. It's the gift of speaking in tongues, it's the gift of interpreting in tongues, and the gift of prophecy, which ties the two together. And when I say ties the two together, we'll get to that and what that actually means. So stay tuned with us if you really want to learn what this subject is about, because this is so important for you to know as a believer. I want to start off with a little bit of foundational teaching, foundational scriptures, I should say, and then I'm going to go right into the benefits of speaking in tongues or praying in the Spirit. The first thing we want to go into is 1 Corinthians, and this is 14:2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. Now, when we talk about this, when it says about speaking mysteries and that no one understands him, no one understands him unless there's an interpretation. Like I said, we're going to get to that, but we'll get to that next week or in our next series, I should say. But that being said, speaking in tongues or speaking in mysteries means that you may not understand naturally what you're praying about, but praying in tongues is when the Holy Spirit is through your spirit, man, directly to the Father. Again, praying in tongues is when you yield to the Holy Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to pray through your spirit, man, directly to the Father. I want to read you another one, and this is out of the book of Romans. There are so many teachings out there, people or faith-driven denominations, and this is not knocking on anybody, but some people just believe that speaking in tongues is not real anymore. It doesn't exist. It only operated during a short period during the books of Acts, which is right after Jesus, you know, right after his resurrection, and the apostles were filled in the upper room with all the other 120 who were there, Gentiles alike and everything, and they started speaking in tongues, and people wondered what was going on with that, okay? What I'm going to tell you is that speaking in tongues, okay, is a gift from the Holy Spirit. Tomorrow we're going to talk about how to receive the gift. Today we're going to talk about the benefits, okay? Now, one thing I want you to know, sometimes when people hear a tongue, they may not understand it, and they're wondering what language that is. Now, here's something the Lord wanted me to, that he impressed upon me to share with you. When someone speaks in a tongue, they're either in tongues of a man or they're tongues of an angel. What I mean is they're tongues of man or tongues of angels. If they're tongues of men, that doesn't have to be a current language or dialect that's in this world today. It could be something from the past that doesn't exist anymore or is not in practice anymore. At other times, when it's in the language of an angel, I will tell you that sounds much different. One time I was at a Bible study that I led, and afterwards we got in prayer, and as we did a prayer circle, there was someone who really needed some prayer, so we came to the middle, we laid hands on them and prayed. And as we did, I just encourage everybody, if you know how to pray in the Spirit, start praying now so we can magnify God's presence. It was something I felt impressed to do. So corporately as a group, we started praying in the Spirit. As we did that, one of the things happened, this one lady went off on the tongue, and I'm like, what is that? But we prayed, and we turned around, and we prayed over this person. They received their healing, just so you know. Well, the Lord turned around, and I asked him later, Lord, what was that? I've never heard that before. And he shared with me that what I had witnessed or heard was a tongue of angels. So sometimes when we pray, it's not just in tongues of men, it's in tongues of angels. Let's go ahead and go into what the benefits are. But before I do, let me read to you the scripture out of Romans. The scripture out of Romans is Romans 8:26. This is what it says. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That being said, let's go into the benefits of praying in tongues or speaking in the Spirit. Yesterday we talked about what it is. Today we're talking about some of the benefits, not all of them, but some of the benefits. And tomorrow we're going to talk about how to receive the gift if you don't have it already and how to leverage or use it. Let's go ahead and go into our list. These are the benefits of praying in the Spirit. Direct fellowship with God. It allows you to have direct fellowship with God. Remember, it's the Holy Spirit praying through your spirit to God. Praying in the Spirit brings rest, refreshing, and peace. Oftentimes when you turn around and you pray in the Spirit, I will tell you at times when I've been unsettled or uneasy about a situation, maybe I have a strong worry that's trying to come on me, and I cast it, I literally get it and throw it on the Lord, which we talked about that last week, or earlier I should say in this series. When we do that, praying in tongues will often bring you rest, refreshing, but it also brings you peace and calm to your situation. Let's continue reading. Now, in addition to that, we also have personal edification. In other words, this builds us up spiritually. A lot of times people try to use their justification that you shouldn't speak in tongues because it only personally edifies you. But they don't know what edifying means. Edification is the act of building yourself up. But it's not just building yourself up physically. What you're doing is you are building yourself up spiritually. In other words, you're strengthening or growing your spirit, man. Let's continue reading. We also have builds up God's presence and the atmosphere we're in. Sometimes when I go in to do a teaching, whether if it's a, in the past when it was a Bible study or if I was leading a class or if I'm turning around and I'm going in to minister to a large crowd or whatever, you know, if I'm invited to convention, I'll often get there early and go in that atmosphere and start speaking in the Spirit or praying in the Spirit, I should say, to magnify God's atmosphere in that environment so that his works can be done. Let's continue. We also have it elevates or magnifies your level of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. We have the ability to praise in the Spirit, and so this elevates, magnifies your level of praise, thanksgiving, and worship. It also helps to increase our sensitivity to being led and hearing God's voice. One of the things that people turn around and ask me probably most often is, how can I hear from God better? Well, in order to be led by the Holy Spirit or to hear God's voice better, the more time you spend praying in the Spirit, the more that will increase within your life. It creates a sensitivity to being led and hearing God's voice. The next one we have is it develops God's anointing and increases its presence. So again, it develops God's anointing within your life, and it increases its presence. In other words, there are times when you spend time praying in the Spirit, that anointing that's on you, it develops it. And as it increases it, you'll get clear understanding of what it is you need to do, what your next steps are, exactly how to grow in that. It builds that anointing on your life. And remember, anointing is when God blesses your abilities or your resources to accomplish his works that he's called for you to do within his within your life. And that brings glory to him. The next one we have is that it also allows us to pray about the future. And then the next one we have is it enables God to arrange deliverance and or protection for us or others. This is one of the most valuable things by praying in the Spirit. When we pray in the Spirit, it allows us to be able to pray about the future, our future or just the future in general, and it allows us to impact that. It tells us in Romans 4:17 that we have the ability to call things not as they were, but as they're meant to be. It also allows us that when we pray, it enables God to arrange protection or deliverance for us or others. Now, when I say it enables God, sometimes think, well, God's all-powerful. He can do whatever he wants. God is all-powerful. The question about faith, or not question, but the thing you have to understand is it's not about whether God has the power to do something. That's whether he has the authority to. Now, that throws a lot of people off, but here's what I'm going to tell you, or it can throw people off, is what I should say, because based on what they've taught is that God, everything's in God's control. But that's not accurate, and it doesn't line up with God's word. God has the power to do anything, anything. God has the power to do anything, but it doesn't mean he has the authority to. Why? Because we, as his children, he's given the authority to us through his son, Jesus Christ, and it's up to us to bring those things to pass. Remember, faith without works is dead, and the way you bring something to pass is by speaking it out. It's by using the authority in your spirit through your voice, exercising your faith to call those things that be not as they were, but as they are meant to be. Guys, I hope you enjoyed today's teaching. As always, we want to remind you to swing by our website at neilreyes.com, where you can find all of our teachings. You can stream them 24 hours a day at no cost from there. In addition, we invite you to swing by our social media and connect with us. We invite you to go by our YouTube channel. We also invite you to go by our Facebook page or our Twitter. And at that point, we're inviting you to connect with these. Get connected, like them, share them, subscribe to them, and then share them with your friends. If these teachings are helping you, it's a good chance they're going to help others as well, and it'll open the doors for you to being able to explain to them things that you've wanted to talk to them or are led to talk to them about. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day. Power off.
Questions, comments, clarity?
See, that was heavy. Edifying means to it's used to strengthen and build up your inner man.
Personal edification.
And also, say it again.
You talk about personal edification?
Yeah, personal edification strengthens and builds up your inner man, and it also can set the atmosphere for praise and worship.
Mm-hmm.
So it electrifies it.
Now, we see that on Sunday.
Yeah.
Power on.
When we see, when we have intercession before service,
is connected.
Mm-hmm. And it just seems like when the service starts, it seemed like God just, it seemed like I was telling somebody, it seemed like God just takes the roof off the building and just pours his spirit in there, mm-hmm. and it's just like, boom. It seemed like when we all get in there, it seemed like it just goes from heart to heart and breath to breath. I mean, it just seemed like the power mm-hmm. of God just be so strong. And that's because and praying in the spirit.
Pastor Peters, may I interject?
Yes.
Now, again, you must understand personal edification is talking about yourself.
Right.
Now, there is edification of the body of Christ. That's for everybody. So in your prayer language, that's personal edification, building you up. And I hope you got
mm-hmm.
mentioned about eight or nine different benefits.
Mm-hmm.
As he has shared, that's not an exhaustive list. There's so many more benefits of using your prayer language. And we must be more, let's say, ready to use our prayer language when it is called for. For instance, someone calls you on the phone and they share a situation and they say, look, I need you to pray for me, in your prayer time. You can start then. I say, well, thank you for giving me permission. Put up and begin to go to check in because you don't know, sometimes you don't know what to pray for. And there are often situations that come up where you don't know what to say in English. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And look at God. You may speak somebody who speaks Greek, and you don't speak Greek, you know. But, you know, they know some English. They say, pray for me. And you, glory to God, the Holy Spirit God about their situation. You won't know unless God reveals it to you what the situation is, but God does. The Holy Spirit does.
Amen.
So, you know, first edification is for you. But edification on a broader sense is for the anybody who needs it, the whole body of Christ. Thank you, Pastor.
Pastor, didn't you do that this morning on a prayer line? And you pray for that brother? You went in tongues praying definitely for his illness?
Yes. It's definitely a great tool. And we don't understand, a lot of us don't understand what a weapon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ is, the blood of Jesus, and our prayer language. And when you hear someone say the word leverage, that just means using something. Leverage the word of God, using the word of God, using your prayer language. That's what leverage means, using something. It's just a 20th century or 21st century word. You know, you could say, use the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Use your prayer language. Leveraging your prayer language.
Yes, 5 minutes up, Pastor.
Okay.
All mine talks clear.
I just want to say one thing. Speaking it out gives you authority to bring something to pass, right?
Yes, because it's like you made it God, the image of God. He spoke it out loud, and it came into being. You initiate spiritual reality when you believe something in your heart, and then you speak it out of your mouth. You become just like God. The Bible says you can decree a thing.
Yourself.
You can't decree a thing in your mind. You got to speak it out loud, and it shall be established.
Today's topic that we're going to be discussing is praying in the Spirit, and this is part 3 in our teaching. Again, today's topic that we're continuing on is praying in the Spirit, and this is part 3. If you've been with us for the past couple of weeks, you know that we've been covering the different types of prayer. There's 9 different main types of prayer that the Bible covers within the Word. And we've been covering those 9 different prayers and telling you exactly what they are and how they are. And we've been doing that so that when you go before the Lord and you pray, you make sure you're praying in the right manner. And what I mean by that is we've discovered that there are certain rules to prayer or how to pray. That's why sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes when people don't get their prayers answered, it's because they're not praying in the correct manner or praying the correct prayer. Other times they are. They're just not standing in faith to believe that it'll happen. There's different reasons why prayers are not answered. But one of the things we're going over is praying in the Spirit. And in praying in the Spirit, we took time to divide this into 3 different teachings. If this is your first time joining us, we invite you to go back to teaching 1 and then teaching 2. And here's why. In teaching 1, I break down exactly what praying in the Spirit is. Basically, praying in the Spirit is referring to praying in tongues. There's a lot of different opinions out there or thoughts on what it is or what it isn't, when it's to be used or how it's to be used and when it's not supposed to be. We really break through all of that, and in a short period, we turn around and we cover exactly what praying in tongues is and why you should do it. In part 2, we talk about the benefits of praying in tongues. In other words, we talk about, and yes, there are benefits, there are reasons why you pray in tongues. In fact, very strong reasons why you should and some very strong benefits of that. That's why the Lord gave that to us. That's a gift from Him. It's one of the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then in today's teaching, we're going to talk to you about how to receive the gift if you haven't received it already. We're going to talk about how to pray in tongues. And if you've already received the ability to pray in tongues, I still invite you to stay tuned because it'll complete the series and add to your learning. But in addition to that, even if you've already received a tongue, there's no reason why you can't receive more than 1 prayer tongue. I'm going to say that again because some people may not know that. But it is possible for you to have more than 1 type of prayer tongue. Now, if all you ever have is 1, that's okay. This isn't one of those things where when we check on level of believer, it's like if you have more than one, you're the baller of a believer. No, but I will tell you that it's a beautiful thing when you're praying and you hear a different tongue come out. I remember the first time that happened to me, I was like, what was that? And I realized as I was before the Lord that he had blessed me with another tongue. Wasn't something I asked for, wasn't something I was seeking. It was just something that he blessed me because he loved me. I was in the spirit with him praying, and he blessed me with another tongue. So we're going to talk about that today. But as we talk today, I want to also share a couple of stories with you. But before we do, I want to get right into the word. But as a reminder, I want to remind you that praying in tongues, what praying in tongues is, or praying in the spirit, that's when you allow the Holy Spirit within you. Now, this is for believers only. If you're unsaved, then we will help you with that. You need to get saved because this is only for saved people. When you are saved, this is when you allow the Holy Spirit in you to pray through your spirit man directly to the Father. We're going to say that again. Praying in the Spirit is when you allow the Holy Spirit in you to pray through your spirit man directly to the Father. When you do that, you're speaking in things that only the Lord understands. At times, he'll give you interpretations of those, whether it be through thoughts in your mind or things that rise up in your heart. But he'll turn around, and he's praying about things that he needs to for your benefit. Now, as we talk about this, I want to get right into the word, and I want to share with you a scripture that we're going to be covering today. Today's scripture that we're going to be covering is out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to be going through verses 4 through 11. So 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. This is where it talks about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. In fact, sometimes you may hear people refer to these as the manifestation gifts. These are the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, stay with us because this week we're also going to be starting a new series where we're going to be covering the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. We're going to break them down to their three categories that they are. We have three different categories. You have the revelation gifts, you have the inspiration or motivational gifts, as they're sometimes called, and then you have the power gifts. We're going to cover what each one of them are, what they look like, what they do, and I believe that that's going to be a true blessing to you because most people, when we teach on this, realize they've already been operating some. They just didn't know what it was. But when they gain the understanding of what it is and where it's at in God's word, confidence comes with that. And as confidence comes with that, there's a boldness that arises, and people will start to exercise and use those more. And the more they grow in those and the more they're found faithful with those, the more they'll develop. So stay tuned with us this week as we begin to cover that. Today, however, I want to go right into the scripture, and we're going to take you to where it talks about the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then we'll get to why. So 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. Ready? Let's read. There are diversities of gifts, but the same gift. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Now, as we begin to speak about this, the reason why I read this is because it covers all nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. I wanted you to see that diverse types of tongues or different kinds of tongues is in the Word. And he did say tongues. That's because a couple reasons. One, people may have more than one tongue. But two, everybody has different types of tongues, okay? And as we described before, when the Lord gives you your heavenly tongue, it could be a tongue of man or a tongue of angels. And if it's a tongue of man, it doesn't have to be a current language that's operating in the world today. It could be a language from the past that has not operated, that doesn't operate anymore. It's a dialect that's not spoken anymore, okay? Now, in addition to that, he also states at the very end here that, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. What I'm going to explain to you, and we're going to cover next week, or the rest of this week, or later this week, whenever we start getting the gifts, is that there's nothing you can do to earn the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there are things you can do to prepare or position yourself to receive the gifts. One of the things I will tell you is that in order to receive these gifts, any of these gifts, he's going to give them based on how he wills. But there is one gift out of all nine of the manifestation gifts that I believe is available to every single believer. The other gifts he's going to give as he wills, but there's one gift that he's already willed that everyone should have. the one gift that he has already willed that everyone should have is the ability to speak in tongues or diverse tongues, having the ability to speak in other languages. In other words, it's your heavenly prayer language. Why? Because the Lord desires the Holy Spirit to be able to pray through you directly to the Father so that you can have direct communication or fellowship with him one-on-one. This is shown to us in the Word. Now, that being said, sometimes people say, well, the Holy Spirit, you know, these gifts don't operate anymore. Well, the Holy Spirit's still around, right? In fact, I'm going to tell you that these gifts are going to operate until the second coming of Christ. They started in the upper room in the book of Acts when Peter and John were giving the report after being arrested. The Lord came down on them when they got together and united for corporate prayer, and the place shook, and then they were filled with tongues. And as they were, this gift will continue to operate until the Lord comes back. Why? Because right now we have the Holy Spirit with us because we're separated from the Lord. But when he reunites us and reestablishes his kingdom here on earth, that's when tongues will cease, because at that point we won't need to pray in tongues to speak to him. We'll be able to be directly with him. He has already willed for you to have this. But you're going to have to determine when you go before the Lord, make sure you get your heart right with him. Like I said, there's nothing you can do to earn the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but there are things you can do to make sure you're right to receive it with them. As you do that, if there's any unresolved sin within your life, you need to resolve that with them now. Just simply present that to them, ask for forgiveness, and then ask that he comes into your life and floods you with your prayer spirit or with your prayer language, that you might be able to pray in tongues or pray in the spirit to fellowship with them one-on-one. I will also tell you that when you hear people praying in tongues who have done it for some time, it seems like they rattle on entire sentences or paragraphs, or they just go on and on. I will tell you that as you begin to speak in the Spirit, it may only start with a couple words. It may just be ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. I mean, it may just be the same words over and over and over. But the more you use it, just like a toddler growing up, how they learn how to speak, they may only start off with one or two words. But the more they speak and the more they're in the presence of others who speak, in other words, the more you're in the Lord's presence, the more that language will develop. I want to share with you how I turn around and receive the Holy Spirit. I remember years and years ago, I was just sharing this with my children the other day. Years and years ago, I was at my in-law's house, and as I was at my in-law's house, I remember asking them how to speak in tongues because I had read about it in the Bible. Well, they turned around and shared it with me, and as I was on their couch in their living room, I remember going before the Lord and praying, and basically this is what I did. I'm not saying all people should do this, but this worked for me. I turned around and I realized that even though sometimes when we pray in the Spirit, it may not come down on us like fire necessarily. I have talked to people who believe that they're just going to wait for that. You know, it tells us in the Word that faith without works is dead. It also tells us that we must learn to confess or use our mouth. So I realized that I needed to turn around and start opening my mouth and speaking. So sometimes people, when they're ready to receive the gift of praying in the Spirit, they start praying in their natural language. But they're so focused on praying in their natural language or their native language that they don't give any room for the Holy Spirit to work. So what you need to turn around and do is you turn around and you just simply open your mouth. You free your mind of all thought because you can't be thinking like, is this happening or not? And all you simply do, or this is what I did, I simply went before the Lord and I started moving my mouth. And so I started babbling like a baby. I opened my mouth and I went, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, shigorogono shina shamagana. And just like that, my prayer language came out. Now you just heard my prayer language. You're like, oh, there's a prayer. You got to have an interpretation. That's not necessarily how that works. You know, I'm going to give you an instruction. If you ask someone how to change your oil, well, they may actually have to put a video together or get underneath your car and show you how to change your oil. So when I'm teaching you how to pray in the Spirit, it's okay for me to pray in the Spirit before you so that you understand how to do it. Otherwise, I'm going to say you got to do this, but not give you an example of it. I'm giving you an example of it. Guys, you need to get outside of your religious mind and the religious framework that you've been taught to think with and start to get into the Spirit. Last story. Recently, just a couple weeks ago, I was at a class that we were teaching, and in this class we were talking about praying a healing and gifts of the Holy Spirit and things like that, and there was a gentleman who had wanted to receive the gift of praying in tongues who had never did it there. Corporately, as a group, we were all praying in the Spirit. So this gentleman goes ahead and he starts to pray, and as he is, other guys are praying with him, and they're really trying to turn around and help him pray in the Spirit, but nothing's happening. So I call him over to the side when they're done, and because I was led to do so, and I said, brother, here's how I learned how to speak in tongues, and here's what I'm going to tell you to do. One, you were over there praying, but I bet you were praying in your native language, in your natural language, correct? And he said, yeah. I said, don't do that. I said, you need to clear your mind and let the Holy Spirit come upon you, but you do need to move your mouth. So just start babbling like a baby. Now, some people may say, oh, that's not the way it works. I'm just telling you how it worked for me, and I see this work for many others. Is this the only way? No, of course not. But this is a way on how to receive it. So I turn on, you know, we had praise and music, worship music on. So we had praise and worship music on. It was loud, people praying. I said, all I want you to do is just start babbling like a baby. And as you babble like a baby, listen for the way for your voice to change. Don't be focusing on it, but just listen for your voice to change. And if you feel impressed to make a different sound, if you're going ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, and you feel impressed to go e da ba, then go ba 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 ba, ba 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 ba, e da ba da, e da ba da ba da ba, e da ba da ba da. Now this is what I explained to him. I'm not telling you to do that, but I'm saying start off with the ba 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 ba, and as you do that, you're going to feel your tongue want to make other syllables or other, you know, inflections. And as it does, that's your prayer language that's coming on you. Once that prayer language comes on you, I'm going to tell you that the more you use it, the more it'll grow. You should stand. Once you receive it, don't say, okay, I'm done, I'm walking out. It's not like you order a burger and they call you to the counter and you get your burger and you leave. You turn around and you stay praying in it. E-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. E-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. E-da-ba-da-ba. And your prayer language will come upon you. Guys, I hope that you have found this series of types of prayer very encouraging to you. I also hope that as we've been teaching on the prayer language, I know today's teaching went longer than normal, but I think it's important too so that we can give you the proper instruction that you need to understand. If you have questions, guys, as always, we want to invite you to go by our website at neilreyes.com. If you click on the Contact Us page, there's a form that you can click on. You can fill it out and send it to us. I will tell you that that form will come directly to me. My staff will make sure that I receive that form directly to me. I can read it, and I can turn around and respond to you or have someone from my staff respond to you if you have questions regarding this. We're here to be able to help you grow in your relationship with the Lord. We want to see successful believers in the world, successful in their walk with the Lord, walking in all good things with him. Guys, as always, we want to thank you for stopping by. In addition, we invite you to swing by our social media. You can subscribe to our YouTube channel, find us on Facebook or on Twitter. We want to help you to be able to get these teachings to you, so we are available to be streamed 24 hours a day at no cost, and they're available for you to share through social media with your friends if you think it's beneficial for them as well. Guys, as always, we want to remind you that Jesus is Lord and he loves you, and so do we. Thank you, and have a blessed day.
Power off.
Hello? Is there anyone asleep? Yes?
No.
Okay.
I was waiting for Peter to talk.
Oh, Pastor Peter?
Pardon me, sir?
Oh, okay. The video's over.
It's off?
Yes, it is.
Yes.
Anybody need clarity or anything?
Well, the one thing I seem like I learned is that no matter what tongue you end up using, the one thing that is you must have is a keep your heart right before God. If not, go back and repent, get yourself clean that way, then go forth.
Yes.
Another interesting point was when he said, use what you had now, and as you use it, over time, it can change. And I know that's one area that I've been fought in, and I've had a spiritual battle going on because it has made me, I had become somewhat inhibited thinking of a thought with how I sound. But he clarified, no matter how you sound,
mm-hmm.
it's just the same to the Lord. So it encouraged my heart. More than I said, it encouraged me to not be ashamed. Because I'm not speaking to the church. I'm speaking to God. So I'm not trying to give a church. If that if the message was to come to the church, then God would put everything in its proper place. If that if there is a message that he wanted the church to hear through me, I'm not trying to speak it to the church. However, if that happened, he would do he would put everything in its proper place. But it encouraged me to be more vocal in, with that in my private time. I feel like I have enough now to whatever the I've been doing it, but inside I was feeling a little, I don't know. But he kind of brought clarity to my understanding. You can't operate on what you don't understand. But my understanding has been made quite truthful.
And it looks like Satan has used this as a hindrance to the saint for them not to step out in it with confidence because they were feeling some kind of way about it. But when you're taught that your tongue could be different from mine, but it's to Christ first, and if he chooses or if you choose to go more personable, you have that power to do that. But you must have understanding because confusion is of Satan. That's what he loves to do. And the body of Christ does not use tongues, which is a weapon to be used for empowerment, builds you up on the inside, gives you authority to shape the future. And he has kept that from us for so long.
Right. I think sometimes when you don't see something happen first in the pulpit, sometimes I think you still have some apprehension.
Exactly.
You question like, oh my gosh, you know, but you don't see it all. You don't see a lot of it. I mean, I think it would make people a little bolder if they see if they are in the church where it comes often from the pulpit, versus you thinking you're gonna be the first one that you if God. I mean, something is happening through you. And you haven't seen it through the pulpit, you can be kind of apprehensive and scared and whatever, and thinking, oh my gosh, are they gonna put me out? I mean, something like it's when it's something new. It's like when it's something new, it should come from the pulpit or happen through the pulpit first, or somebody on the pulpit first, but not necessarily.
That's right. It's almost you looking for permission from the pulpit. Because when I was at Christ Deliverance, where I got ordained, there was a mother of the church that got in my face. If she could have cussed me in church, she would have, because she went off like, you ain't got no business saying that in church and blah, 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 blah. And there was nobody there to defend me or say anything. And I didn't know how to talk to her, but she was the mother of the church. And she came at me so aggressively that it made me want to, when I started to bubble over, I would hold it. I wouldn't do it because I didn't want to be looked at or criticized. Because like you said, you don't see it in the pulpit. You feel like you don't want that wrong.
May I interject, Pastor Peter?
Yes, and you can't quench the spirit either because of the flesh of somebody else.
Exactly, but you got to know that.
Pastor Peter is taking some of the words out of my mouth. Number one, many years ago, someone shared with me, go out in the water any deeper than the water that the pastor is in. Like, if he's in shallow water, you're going to be out of place if you go past him. So that's why it's so important to have God lead you as to where, if number one, where to park your vehicle in the church. You know, where, in other words, where what church to be a part of. But number two, also, is an opportunity for you to pray that God reveals this. This is not really a new thing. It's actually old. It's just that the church has gone away from the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And
Amen.
We need to get back to the old landmark when there was prophecy in the church, when there was all kinds of gifts of healings and deliverances and casting out demons and devils limbs growing back. That's happened in the church.
That's right, exactly.
And but We think that's the new thing. That's not new. It's old. But we don't know because we haven't seen it in such a long while. And I'm going to share with you now that next week we are going to do just the inspiration gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. We're going to go through that next week because it's so important. This is such an important aspect of your Christian walk. We get so beat up. Mm-hmm. I mean, that some of the saints get drugged around like a dog is dragging, you know, one of those stuffed dogs and dragging up and down there. Some of the saints, and they don't understand that they got more power in their little pinky finger or little brown finger or little red finger or whatever than the devil has in all of the works of the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't know it, just like you used to say, if you don't know your legal rights, you don't have any. If you don't know that you got the power, you don't have any because you ain't using it.
Yep.
So this is just and God is leading us to something getting ready to break forth in a mighty way in his churches. Because I know the time is winding up, and we got to be armed.
Amen.
And extremely dangerous.
That's right.
To be enemy. Because this time is short.
Amen.
And we
yes, it is.
Bold as the lion, even the lion of the tribe of Judah.
Amen.
But we're gonna discuss the diverse kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Get some our next Tuesday. Hallelujah.
Pastor, can I interject? It almost feels like you have to be respectful of someone else's ignorance and pray for them because the Bible also says to the devil stole it right from me. Jesus.
The memory of
if eating meat offends your brother, then you don't do it in front of them.
Okay.
But you have to go pray for that person. Like that lady that went off on me, I had to be respectful to her. And pray for her.
Do you remember, I guess it's been a week or so ago, I mentioned something when somebody trying to stress you out or whatever, you need about five to kind of be led of the Lord as a prayer that you can say. If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me.
Yes.
The 5 or 10 seconds to your response because see, number one, you are dealing with their soul as well. Now, somebody
mm-hmm.
is in error and gross error in the church, you know, you got to be led of the Lord. Do you let them stay in the error or do you deal with it? And so you ask God
mm-hmm.
at that particular time, like Neil Reyes talked about when he was at Lowe's and he perceived the discernment of spirit had him know that there was a man walking down towards his family
right.
that had evil spirits.
Yeah.
And he
That's
had
right.
the Lord asking, do you want me to cast them out? Or what do you want me
mm-hmm.
to do, Lord? And see, he took time to inquire of the Lord.
Amen.
Get your family together. Yeah. And the man did an ark around them, a big ark, because it's holy ground. He didn't want to walk on a holy ground near Neil and his family. So you have to be led of the Lord because, you know, it's just the enemy will want to do whatever he can to get you off track. So your flesh might have said, just smack this lady. But that's the mother of the church. You might not want to do that.
I had to watch it while it's playing.
Everybody's looking at me normally. No, but seriously, acknowledging God, and he will direct your path. That's why I use that little saying to give me, because sometimes I got to say that, y'all. Because some folks will come and they will say stuff, and I have to say, If I wasn't a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. I'm asking the Holy Spirit to lead me. And you need to wait for the Holy Spirit to lead you. And I don't think the Holy Spirit will lead you to pull out a gun and shoot them. You know, so you wait for the Holy Spirit, not your flesh, to tell them where to go and what to do when they get there. But you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. But I hear what you're saying. God impressed upon me as y'all was sharing to hit that again next week. God is kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues and prophecy. So we know what they are and how to use them and when they're proper and when they're not to be used and what they are. So what is the benefit of using them? But anyway,
yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Peach, for allowing me to share a little bit.
Thank you, Pastor. Any other comments? Well, Pastor, I have a question. Do you leave a church when God is developing you in that area and you don't see it happening around you?
Again, you do, you know what you do. If I was a Christian, I wouldn't be here. Holy Spirit, lead me. You ask the Holy Spirit, and he'll let you know. If I say, say, because I'm getting ready to change everything, I'm giving everybody a tune-up, from the pastor to the usher at the door and everybody in between.
Yes.
You got to let the Holy Spirit lead you, not your flesh. And a lot of people, when they come out their mouth and say they got church hurt, that means they got unforgiveness. They in error, and they're blaming it on the church. You got to forgive in order to be forgiven. That's what the Word of God says. So, hallelujah, glory to God. They got to get rid of that unforgiveness. And getting rid of unforgiveness is not helping that other person, it's helping you. So I will never say a blanket statement on, yeah, you leave them. No, you let the Holy Spirit lead you. Neil Reyes said, was it last week? What's the answer to 1,000 questions?
He led.
Any other questions? Any other questions? Any comments? Hallelujah. I'm so sorry that more people aren't listening to this, because more people, if they would develop their prayer language, the enemy would not be beating upside the head. The enemy be fleeing, running in terror from them. But God bless them all, and we pray for everyone. Hallelujah. Pastor Peaches, any last comments?
No, I was thinking about the church hurt that you said, that you had mentioned, and it made somebody come to my mind. You said you mentioned church hurt, and I was thinking that's one way to, I guess, submit it unto the Lord, just to pray in the Spirit, because sometimes when you have church hurt, and sometimes it can go so deep because it can come from somebody that you don't expect it to come from. But if we can just go in prayer and just pray in the Spirit, you can. I mean, it would help heal.
Well, first thing, the first thing, they got to repent. That's when they say they got to repent of that's sin. Unforgiveness is sin, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Women, Pastor, I'm talking about when it's
church
hurt to you.
Church hurt.
Yes, when you've been hurt.
Yes, you have been hurt. That's what I'm saying. You're hurt. You pray for forgiveness if you're holding unforgiveness. Now, if you're not holding unforgiveness, then you use your prayer language. You, whatever it takes, ask God to heal your hurt. But you got to forgive them.
Right.
You up there on Jesus up there on the cross. He still hurt. But the first thing he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing.
Amen.
You got to do the same thing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. I'm a child of the Most High God. They're endangering themselves. Hallelujah. So, God, I forgive them.
Yeah.
And, Lord, if I had some unforgiveness, forgive me, Lord. And then you can go in your prayer language. Because you don't know what else to say.
Mm-hmm.
And see, when you use your prayer language, like the benefits of your prayer language, it gives you rest.
Yes, refreshing of your soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And then you can act like it never happened.
You can act like it never happened.
Yeah, and that's the only way to do that. Huh.
If you pray, look, ask God to forgive you for unforgiveness, and then you have to say, Lord, now heal my hurt. Lord, the brother that broke my arm, I forgive him, Lord, but please heal my arm, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I don't know. And there's some other things, because we don't know the whole situation. We know what we saw. We know what we heard.
Mm-hmm.
It's never the whole story.
Right.
The Holy Spirit knows the whole story. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
So you tie that in. It's important. Yeah.
And I think then, only then, after you've done that, are you able to love that person?
Oh, yeah.
Or respond to that person without feeling that sting of that pain that they inflicted on you or whatever. And you're able to respond to them in love.
You got.
In the bottom line. I was going to say the bottom line. God is glorified in it.
If you still feel the pain of the church hurt or something that happened, you got to let it completely go. You got to let it go. What does that mean? You don't bring it out of your mouth again. It may come across your mind, but you don't bring it out of your mouth again. You let